Welcome back to the OU Nachyomi Project and our series on the book of Divrei Hayamim Bet. In today's year we study Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. Pasuk Aleph, U'chechalot Shlomo litpalel. When Shlomo finished his prayer, as we read in Chapter 6, a very lengthy prayer after the inauguration of the new temple, Va'esh yordam mihashamayim. Fire came down from heaven, V'tochal ho'olav asvachim. This fire consumed the burnt offering and the peace offering that Shlomo and the nation had brought on the altar. Uchvod Adonai malei et habayit, and the glory of God filled the house. Pasuk bet, v'lo yichlu ha-kohanim lavo beit Adonai. Kohanim were not able to enter God's house. Ki malei chvod Adonai et beit Adonai, because God's glory had filled the house of God. Pasuk gimel, v'chol b'nei Yisrael ro'im beredet ha'esh. All b'nei Yisrael standing in the Azara saw the fire coming down from heaven. Uchvod Adonai al habayit, they also saw God's glory on the house. They fell down on their faces. They fell down onto the floor of the Beit HaMikdash and they bowed down. And they thanked and praised God because He is great, because He is good, and His kindness is forever. Anyone reading these psukim who is familiar with the book of Vayikra in Parshat Shmini obviously will notice the parallel between this story of the dedication of Shlomo's Beit HaMikdash and the inauguration ceremony of the Mishkan, as described in chapter 9 in Sefer Vayikra. However, there are also many similarities between the description that we just read and what happened in Har Sinai, when God's glory came unto Har Sinai, when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah. However, the reasons for those parallels should be obvious, because the whole reason that we have a Mishkan, and hence later a Mikdash, is to perpetuate what happened in Mamad Har Sinai. As Ramban explained so beautifully in his introduction to Parshat Truma in chapter 25 in Shmot, the main reason that we have a Mishkan is to take the Sinai experience, what happened at Mamad Har Sinai, and to perpetuate that in a manner that Am Yisrael on a regular basis, and especially on the holidays, can return to the Beit HaMikdash, and in that way relive the Har Sinai experience, not only the teaching of the Torah, but the closeness and connection to God. If we note the parallel to Parshat Shmini, there also, God told Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron that they have to bring an offering in order for God's glory to come. There we also found the offering of an olah and a shlamim, a burnt offering and a peace offering. As Moshe Rabbeinu explains to the people in Pasuk 11, verse 6, in Perek Tet in Vayikra, V'emar Moshe, zeh davar asher tziva Adonai tasu, v'yira alechem kvod Adonai. Bring these korbanot, and the glory of God will appear in front of you. Indeed, they bring those offerings in chapter 9, and in Pasuk Habet, Aaron blesses the people in a manner similar to what Shlomo Melech did, also lifting up his hands and blessing them. And then we're told he came down from doing the Chatat and the Olah and Shlamim. In the Pasuk Chav Gimel, we have something very interesting in Vayikra. There we're told, Vayvo Moshe Aaron El Ohel Moed. Moshe and Aaron came to the Ohel Moed. Vayitzu, and they left. Vayberchu Et Am, then they blessed the people. Vayirach Chvod Adonai Al Kol Am. Then God's glory came to all the people. Followed by Vatetze Esh Mifnei Adonai Vatoch Al HaMizbeach Et Olah Vat HaChalavim. Fire came down from God and consumed the meat of the Korbanot. The people saw this, became fearful, and in awe, bowed down on their faces to God. There's no doubt that Divrei Hayamim wants to give us the impression that the dedication of the Mikdash in the time of Shlomo was very similar to the dedication of the Mishkan in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. What happens in verse 23 in Vayikra, where Moshe and Aaron go to the Ohel Moed and they leave, and it's not clear in the Pasuk why did they enter the Ohel Moed just to come out. Rashi explains they came in to pray. The idea that in the dedication ceremony, there's a need to pray, and in light of the prayer, God's glory will come and appear in front of the people, but only after prayer, even though it's only alluded to in chapter 9 in Vayikra, it's very explicit in the story in Divrei Hayamim. It's also thematically very important that God's fire consuming the offerings and the appearance of God's glory in front of the people only come after the prayer delivered by Shlomo HaMelech. That's emphasized in the opening pasuk in chapter 7 in Divrei Hayamim Bet. Only after Shlomo finished his prayer, then fire came down from heaven. Had God sent fire from heaven and consumed the meat of these offerings immediately after they were brought, the impression that people would have is that the purpose of these korbanot is to feed God. You put the meal on the table, and God would eat it right away. Divrei Hayamim wants to emphasize that the purpose of the Beit HaMikdash is to pray to God. We saw that mentioned over and over again in chapter 6 in Shlomo's prayer. By waiting to consume the korbanot, only after Shlomo delivers his prayer, and only after that prayer emphasizes the need for repentance and the understanding of the proper relationship between God and man, then it's very meaningful that fire consumes the korbanot, and God's glory only appears after Shlomo delivers his prayer. Another reason one could suggest for the emphasis in Divrei Hayamim about God's glory appearing onto the Mikdash in the time of Shlomo can be based on what we saw in the book of Haggai in the beginning of the Second Temple period, when the people were very doubtful whether or not the Second Temple can indeed be as great as the first one, and whether indeed this was redemption. In order to quell those fears, Haggai, in the beginning of chapter 2, as they're about to begin construction of the Second Temple, Haggai delivers a message to the people in response to how depressed they are. He tells them as follows in chapter 2, verse 3, Perek Bet Pasuk Gimel. Mi bachem anishar sherat habayit hazeh bichvodo rishon, who of the old timers remember the first temple? Uma atem roim oto ata haloch mo ka'ain benechem. And what do you see now in front of you? What we're about to build in the second temple is nothing compared to how great the first temple was. Therefore, because they're so depressed about this, he gives them chizuk in Pasuk Dalet. Vata chazak zubavel numa adonai. Now, Zerubbabel, you must be strong, God says. The Chazak Yoshua ben Yotzadak HaKohen HaGadol. Yoshua, the Kohen Gadol, he also must be strong. These are the leaders of the Second Temple period. The Chazak Kol Ha'am Ha'aretz, Num Adonai, Vasu. All the people of the land should be strong and get to work and do. Ki ani itchem Num Adonai Tzvot, because I'm with you. And then the Navi continues, in Pasuk Zayin, V'ir'ashti et Kol HaGoyim, there'll be an upheaval among the nations, U'bo Chemdat Kol HaGoyim, all the nations will come to gather around Yerushalayim, umileti et habayit hazeh kavod, amar Adonai Tzvot. One time Haggai says, this house will be filled with kavod, with God's glory. Then he continues in Pasuk Tet, promising, gadol yeh kavod habayit hazeh acharon min harishon. This next house, the second Beit HaMikdash, can be even more glorious and greater. The kavod of this house can be greater than the kavod, the glory of the first house. Because the hopes of the Nevim and the leaders in the beginning of the second temple period is that the second temple can become even greater than the first temple, it's important for the prophetic authors of Divrei Hayamim to highlight how when Shlomo dedicated his Beit HaMikdash, how God's glory appeared, in the hope that the same thing could happen for the people of the second Beit HaMikdash. Let's return now to Divrei Hayamim Bet Perek Zayin and the reaction of the people to this event. Pasuk Dalet. V'amelech v'chol ha'am, the king, together with all the people, zovchim zevach lifnei Adonai. The king and all the people were offering sacrifices in front of God. But these sacrifices are not olot, not burnt offerings, but zvachim, peace offerings, where the meat is consumed by the owners as well. In general, the two basic types of voluntary offerings, korban adava, the man can bring to God. He can either bring an olah, which is totally consumed, or a zevach shlamim, a peace offering, where the owners eat most of the animal. Shem is shared with the kohanim, and the blood and the chalev and the fat go on the altar. What's the meaning of sharing a korban with God when there's a partnership between two people? When two sides enter a covenantal agreement, for example, two families marry off their children, or two countries sign a treaty, we usually find that that covenantal agreement is followed by a festive meal. Joining God in a festive meal, figuratively giving some of the animal to God on his mizbeach, but the owner sitting and eating that animal as well, together with God, the offering of the Korban Shlamim, in many ways reflects the understanding that we are God's covenantal partner, just as it's our desire to share a meal with God, so too it's our desire to serve Him as individuals and as members of His nation. The next set of psukim are going to discuss how many animals were offered for this Korban Shlamim. Pasuk Hei, Vayizbach HaMelech Shlomo et Zevach HaBakar Arsimu Shnayim Elef. King Shlomo offered 22,000 oxen, Vitzon Mea Vesim Elef, sheep 120,000, Vayachnuchu et Beit Elohim HaMelech V'chol Am. And by doing this, they dedicated the house of God, the king, together with all the people. Considering, as we explained before, that the nation gathering to the Beit HaMikdash is similar to the nation gathering at Har Sinai. And just like at Har Sinai, we brought Olot and Shlamim, as we're told in Sefer Shmot, in the beginning of Perek Havdalah, in the beginning of chapter 24, to bring Olot and Shlamim. It's important to note how the king, leading the people, together with the people of his nation, gather together and offer a tremendous amount of sacrifices, enough for everyone to feel part of this event. The goal that Shlomo has in doing this is for all the people who have gathered to feel a connection and to identify with what's taking place. Pasuk Vav, Va'konim amishmerotam omdim. The Kohanim were standing doing their services. Va'levim bichlei shir Adonai asher asad David HaMelech. And the Levites, together with their musical instruments, as David had commanded them, as we saw in chapters 23 through 27 of Divrei Hayamim Aleph. Lo'odot la'Adonai ki lo'olam chasdo. They're all thanking God for His kindness is forever. Ba'halel David bi'adam, with the Psalms of David in their hands. In other words, the Psalms that they're singing are the Psalms written by David HaMelech, together with Asaph and Hemani and Yedutun. V'Kohanim machzirim v'chol Yisrael omdim. The Kohanim blowing the trumpets, and all of Am Yisrael is standing in awe, listening to the beautiful sounds of the choir and the music, and being inspired by the words of Tehillim. because there were so many korbanot that were being offered, there was not enough room on the altar to bring them. Therefore, Pasuk Zayin, Vaykadesh Shlomo et tocha chatzer asher lifnei beit Adonai. Shlomo had to sanctify the entire courtyard which surrounds the Mizbech, which is in front of God's house. Ki asa sham ha'olot v'et chavei ha'shlamim. Because on the floor of the chatzer, there he offered the burnt offerings and the fat of the korban shlamim. Ki mizbach ha'nechoshet asher asa Shlomo. Because the copper altar that Shlomo made, which replaced the copper altar in the Mishkan, lo echol lachil et ha'ola v'et ha'mincha v'et ha'chalavim. It was not big enough to contain all the meat from all the olot and the korbanot mincha and the meal offerings and the fat of the korban shlamim. There was not enough room. Therefore, they had to sanctify even the area on the floor around the mizbeach, and they were able to bring korbanot on the area surrounding the mizbeach as well. Pasachet, Vayah Shlomo et achad beitahi shivat yamim. Shlomo celebrated the holiday at that time, 7 days, referring to the holiday of Sukkot. V'chol Yisrael imo, kav gadol ma'od. All of Am Yisrael was with him, a very large gathering. Milavo Chamat ad Nachal Mitzrayim. From the city of Lavo Chamat, Israel's northern border, a little bit north of the area of Metula today, ad Nachal Mitzrayim, Vadi El Arish, in the middle of the Sinai, all of Am Yisrael gathered from the most northern border of the land of Israel to its most southern border in order to make this dedication ceremony a great success. Pasuk Tet, Vayasu b'yom hashmini atzaret. On the 8th day, after the 7 days of Sukkot, they made a gathering, what we call nowadays Shmini Atzaret. The dedication of the Mizbeach was for 7 days, and the holiday was for 7 days. In the parallel Pesukim in Sefer Melachim, we're told that there was a celebration for a total of 14 days. Therefore, they celebrated the 7 days prior to Sukkot, of Chanukat HaMizbeach, and then they had Sukkot itself for 7 days, and then Shmini Atzeret. And if indeed that was true, it seems that year they did not celebrate Yom Kippur. The commentators discussed that. It could be as a Horat Shas, a one-time instruction. They were told that there was no need to celebrate Yom Kippur that year. Or it could be that Yom Kippur was one of the days of those celebration. And on that day, they didn't eat anything, but they still were gathered in the Beit HaMikdash. Either way, after Shmini Atzeret, we're up to the 23rd day of the month of Tishrei. Therefore, in Pasuk Yod, Uv'yom 23 l'chodesh ha'shvi, on the 23rd day of the 7th month, that's the day after Shmini Atzeret, Shilach et am lo'ohalehem. The king sent all the people back to their tents. Everyone went back home. Smechim v'tovei lev, happy and with good hearts. Ala tova asher asa Adonai leDavid v'lishlomo u'lisramo. The people were happy for all the good that God had done for David, for his son Shlomo, and for all Am Yisrael, his nation. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vaychal Shlomo et beit Adonai v'et beit HaMelech. Shlomo completed the construction of God's house, and then later on his own palace. V'et kol haba alev Shlomo, and all the desires of what Shlomo wanted to build, lasot beveit Adonai uveito hitzleach. All of his plans and all of his desires that he wanted to complete in the construction of God's house and his house, he was successful. In many ways, this is one of the highlights and climaxes in Jewish history, where the nation is gathered, everyone's united, our borders are secure, the temple is built. The topic in Sefer Melachim will come to explain what goes wrong afterwards, but at least we should mention that at this point in Shlomo's reign, everything seems to be going very well, and hence this time period is referred to as a Tkufa Mishichit, as a Messianic time period. One of the requests that Shlomo had made in his prayer was that indeed God should keep his promise to David that this will be the permanent house where we will bring offerings to God. This will be the permanent Beit HaMikdash, and therefore God answers them, Pasuk Yudbet, Vayira Adonai Shlomo Balayla. God appeared to Shlomo in the evening, Vayomer lo, and he told him, Shamati et tfilatecha. I heard your prayer, Vacharti b'makom hazeh li lebeit zavach. And indeed, I have chosen this place to be the house where you can bring korbanot. Now, in relation to the other points he made in the prayer, God is going to respond here in a positive manner, however, re-emphasizing the same points that Shlomo himself had made as far as the need to repent in order for God to listen to prayer. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hein et zor ha'shamayim v'lo yematar. Indeed, should I stop the heaven, and I will hold back the rain? V'hein atzaveh achagav lecho ha'aretz, or should I command the grasshoppers, or the locusts, to eat up the produce of the land? V'im ashalach dever bami, or should I send a plague to smite my people? V'ikanu ami asher nikra shmi alehem. And after sending these punishments, should my nation indeed show remorse and repent, this nation whom my name is associated with, asher nikra shmi alehem. Like we said in Yom Tov Davening at the end of the Atav HaChatanu, V'shimcha ha'gadol v'akadosh aleinu karata. Here we have the same idea. Ami asher nikra shmi alehem. V'yitpalelu v'yivakshu fanai. Should they indeed pray and turn to me. V'yashuvu midarcheihem haraim. And indeed repent and decide not to continue in their bad ways. Bani Ishma Mina Shamayim. Then indeed I will hear from the heavens, Veslach Lechatatam, I will forgive them for their sins, Verpe et Artsam, and I will heal their land and stop all these plagues and punishments. Pasuk Tetvav, verse 15, Ata Einai Yuptuchot. Indeed my eyes will be open to this house, Vaznai Kashuvot, my ears will be listening, the Tfilat HaMakom Hazeh, to the prayers that are coming from this place. Pasuk Tetzayin, verse 16, Vata Bacharti Vigdashti et HaBayit Hazeh, Liot Shmi Shem Ad Olam. And now indeed I have chosen and sanctified this place, this house, for my name to dwell there forever. Vayu Einai V'libi Shem Kol Yamim. Therefore my eyes and my heart will be there all the days. Vata, but you, Im Telech Lefanai, we already discussed this phrase in Shlomo's prayer. This has to do with God's command to Avram Avinu, Hitalech Lefanai V'yet Tamim. Here God agrees, should indeed you walk in front of me, Kasher Lach David Avicha, just like David your father walked with me, V'lasot Kecho Asher Tziviticha, and you'll do everything that I command you, V'chukai Mishpatai Tishmor, if you keep my laws and my statutes, then, V'akimoti Et Kisei Machutecha, then indeed I will upkeep the throne of your kingdom. Kasher Karati the David Avicha Lemor, just like I promised with a covenant with David your father saying, Lo Yikaret Lecha Ish Moshe B'Yisrael, there will never be cut off from your family a leader over Israel. However, Pasuk Yotet, Vim Teshuvunatem, Vazavtem Chukatai V'mitzvotai, Asher Natati Lifnechem. But if you leave me and turn away from me and reject my laws and my commandments that I'm giving you, V'lachtem V'avaratem Elohim Acharim V'shtachvitem Lahem, and if you go and serve other gods and bow down to them, Untashtim Me'aod Mati Asher Natati Lahem, then I will have to uproot them from my land that I've given to you. Notice he calls the land of Israel my land. The land belongs to God, and he gave it to us to serve him. As Sefer Vayikra points out over and over again, the land belongs to God, and he gives it to us in order that we can serve him in that land. And this house, which I dedicated and sanctified to represent my name, Ashlich Me'apanai, I will cast this house out of my sight, and it will be a mashal, like a proverb or saying, among the nations to describe a terrible destruction. This house, which was in a leadership position, will be instead the chol over alav yishom. Anyone passing by will be appalled or aghast. And what will they say? They'll say, why did such a terrible thing happen? Such terrible destruction. How did it happen to this land and to this house? What will they answer? The destruction of the Beit HaMikdash will be a sign to the other nations that God's special nation abandoned the God of their forefathers, Asher Otziyam Eretz Mitzrayim, the God who took them out of Egypt. Ve'chaziku be'elohim acharim. Instead, they held on and followed other gods. Ve'ishtachavu lehem ve'avdum. They bowed down to those other gods and served them. Al kein hevi'a lehem et kol ha'razot. And therefore, because they did not serve their God properly, that's why God brought such a terrible destruction upon this nation. The point here that God is telling Shlomo is a very important one. God will always intervene in the history of his people, either to bless them should they follow God properly, but at the same time he'll go out of his way to punish us if we do a poor job following God. The Jewish nation will always represent God. Ideally, if they follow God the proper way, they'll represent God in the sense that God will bless his people and will be prosperous and successful. But even in our punishment, when God brings a terrible punishment upon his people, that punishment itself will also sanctify God's name in the sense that the people will see, oh, how could such a nation receive such a terrible punishment? It must be because they left the God of their forefathers. What's very interesting about God's answer to Shlomo HaMelech is one of the most important points, that even though that this is now the permanent house for God as well, Shlomo and the people should not reach the conclusion that no matter what happens, God will always dwell in this house. God's dwelling in this house will always be a function of the nation's behavior. That would be a major issue at the end of the first temple period, when the people in the time of Yirmiyahu are convinced that God's house can never be destroyed. Yirmiyahu argues that point. Again, that's a topic for the study of Sefer Melachim and Sefer Yirmiyahu. That concludes our study of Chapter 7. Chapter 8 will discuss other accomplishments of Shlomo Melech in addition to his construction of the Beit HaMikdash.